You were made for oneness. God made you for oneness. That's why he set his hunger in you, and the spirit's always willing. Flesh is weak, but the spirit's always going to be willing, and he's always leading you. His first order of leadership is to lead you into oneness with the Father. Because we're performance-based, we want to be led into action or the performance of ministry. We want to be led into this nation doing. That's a good word. We want to be led into a doing, and God wants to lead us into a becoming. It's the way we're led. It's the way we seek. It's the way we search will determine you're going to find what you're looking for. Because you can fast for it. You'll get close to God, especially a 40-day fast, but you can lose that position right after that fast breaks. You know, there's a lot of things will break out in your life, but you can lose it if it's not upheld by something. Do you understand that? Something's got to uphold the position you obtain with God. How many of you ever obtained a glory and presence and found a couple of months later you lost that? Because it wasn't upheld. We're a constant yo-yo going up and down, but we can't stop because he set his hunger in our heart. He set Zion in our heart. We're looking for a continuing city that has no end. We're looking for his glory. It's set in our heart to find it. We'll come in and we'll worship for it. Amen. We'll get into certain levels. There's a lot of avenues to God, but it's what's sustainable is what we're looking for. It's what can be upheld. It's what we can enter into that can be upheld by God and not in a frenzy of our own works. Because that's a frustration to all who walk with God is to enter into realms and lose the realm. Enter in, lose the realm. But there is a way to uphold it. That's the good news. Amen. There's also a way to enter in higher. See, if your whole dynamic of entering in is to come... I'm trying to explain something to you. You're looking for his presence, like say in this worship we were just doing. You're looking to be launched. You're looking to be launched. If that's your dynamics, I'm going to get there like that. Sometimes you will. Sometimes you won't. I want to give you something you can get there that's going to get you there where you want to be. And you're going to move into that position by promise. Not by experience, but you will experience, but you're not looking for him to come get you. Or you're not looking for him to come visit you. You're approaching him by his promise. You're approaching him by his word. You're approaching him by the image that's set in his word. So it's most important you understand the compass that his word provides for your spirit to release into him. Whole books are dedicated to set a compass within your heart to release into his glory. But it's the understanding of that revelation is what's going to cause the faith to give you what you need with your faith to release into a position that can be upheld by that promise and not by an experience. I want to be upheld by what I find. I don't want to just find something and say, God, that was glorious, and don't see it again for 3 years. God does that at times, and we go, oh, his visitation was so glorious. Hallelujah. But we're waiting for the next one. We do not around here wait for visitation. We approach. We enter in. We come to where he is. You have to shift your mentality for God to come to you, shift it to be where he is. God does come to us, but that is not sustainable. To be where he is sustainable. And your faith has to get there. You can't base it on waiting for an experience or trying to arrange your emotional faculty to such a level where you can get a song and a song can release you. I can tell you wherever a worshiper leaves out that music or that worship they provide, you can only go so far as they've gone. They can't take you through the veil if they don't go through the veil.
But his word can take you through the veil because it provided the avenue for you to move through the veil. Let us enter in the veil where Jesus, our forerunner, has passed. Father, I pray, I will, his final will, that they be with me where I am. I have come from you, Father, I'm returning to you, and I go to prepare a place for them in you, and I'm going to come back and get them so they can be with me where I am. They can behold the glory that I have with you. That's a promise. That's a progression that come out of the book of John. He culminated the book of John with that one verse. It's not the first time he said where I am. He said like 5 or 6 times. He was moving them to where he is. He's moving us to his glory. He said, if you love me, you would rejoice that I'm leaving you. Could you imagine you being a disciple and walking him 3.5 years and him telling you that? Oh, I'm leaving now. How would you feel? He goes, if you love me, you rejoice because I'm going to the Father. The Father's greater than I am. Well, that's just fine and dandy. Hallelujah. You're going to the Father. He's greater. But what about me? They didn't realize. He goes, I'm coming to bring you to someone greater than I am. Even Jesus said that. But more importantly, they knew Jesus in his earthly, even though the glory of the Father was on him, he was wanting to bring them to the Father in union, in perfect oneness. He goes, if you think walking with me on the earth is something, why do I introduce you to the Father? That's what he was saying. If you'd love me, let me go and do what I got to do. Let me go to the cross. Let me pave the way so I can open the door for you to come to where he is. It's that imagery. It's those words that you move through. You move in the imagery and the dimension of that word, and it releases your spirit because you're moving by promise. And if you're moving by promise, you're going to get there. But if I'm waiting for an experience, I have no grid. I want to set the pathway of Zion in your heart. Set his word that releases you. It's not just about moving into his glory. Getting into that place is just the beginning, because it's from that position of the right hand of God you move from glory to glory. It gets really good. Something's been releasing lately. It's phenomenal. And I want more of it. It's transforming and changing. A couple of sessions in it will change all your desire. It'll remove carnal appetites from you. It'll start putting God appetite in you. Just a couple of sessions in that. You've got an appetite, a ferocious appetite for God. You'd want to leave the things of the world. But if you're not encountering that, then you struggle here. And one of the traps, that's what I'm talking about. One of the traps the enemy's going to try to set you in is try to perfect yourself here. Because he's going to heap condemnation and guilt. He's going to tell you you're not good enough. He's going to tell you you can't obtain. You're going to hear messages like you got to walk in love. You're going to hear messages like you got to do this, do that, and do that. And you try to do that through an earthly priesthood, and it doesn't work because you don't have what it takes to do that kind of thing. You are not called to walk out the fullness of this book through an earthly priesthood. You can't find it in yourself to obtain the God kind of love. That's why he said it in 1 Corinthians 13. He differentiated man's love and his love. First thing he did. Though I bestow all my goods and give them to the poor and have not love. How could you possibly give everything you had to the poor and somebody walk up and tell you, you're not obtaining? Though I give my body to be burned for the sake of God. For the sake of my religion and have not love, I am nothing. Somebody woke up to you in heaven and said you didn't obtain it. You gave your body, but you missed it. How could I say that's not love? Because human love can go to great extents to try to obtain the image of Christ, but it will fall short. Because God kind of love is found in the Father. It's not found in something you generate. But the enemy will try to heap it up on you. And here's the big problem. The catch 22. Everybody's trying to look like God, walk like God, obtain the image of God, but they're doing it from an earthly priesthood, and it's never going to obtain the image. It's not going to obtain the mark. Even Paul kept the law blameless. Kept it blameless. He kept the law blameless. Do you know what it takes to keep the law blameless? To keep every tittle of the law? It was a lot to do. He said, I kept it blameless, but though things were gained to me, I count but dung. Because I want to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, because he understood the earthly priesthood. He grew up in the Sanhedrin. He grew up as a Pharisee. He understood the earthly priesthood, and he understood its limitations. When he found Christ, he understood the unlimited. To be found in an unlimited place with Christ. And he learned he was trying to get him out of the law. That was the struggle of his day, to get God's people out of that system, to move them into the heavenly priesthood. That's what he's doing. He goes, look, our citizenship, even there he said it, Philippians 3, is in heaven. That's where your priesthood is. That's where you're going to find the perfection of God. So the trap is to try to get into the system of dues here, to becoming here without the kind of glory that will truly conform us to the image of Christ. Without that glory, you're going to stay frustrated. Your Christian life's going to be frustrated. I'll tell you, one of the greatest pains of all is somebody carrying a heavenly vision operating in an earthly priesthood. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should write that down and meditate upon it. You carry a heavenly vision, but you don't know how to birth it, because what's going to create that birth and where that thing belongs is the heavenly tabernacle. It belongs from the operation of the right hand of God, but it's been confined to the doctrine of man, to an earthly tabernacle, to an earthly priesthood, and you're trying to produce heavenly things from the earth, and it'll never work. Not ever. We have to go into perfection. Hebrews 6, Paul said, let us go into perfection. Let us go into perfection was a person. Perfection was a place. It's found in Christ. It's found in the fullness of the Father. It's found in the right hand of God. And we have to venture there. We have to go there. We have to release there. And we walk into these promises, and I hold them in my heart. I can go into perfection. I can enter into the veil where you, my forerunner, has passed. I can be found in you. Not having my own righteousness. I can. Everything in you will tell you cannot. The devil will say you cannot. Stop trying to perfect yourself here. Don't you know that he presents you faultless before the Father? By the time you get to the Father, you're not in yourself. You are in him. You're not in your righteousness. You're in his righteousness. Your righteousness will never obtain the Father. You don't go to the Father outside of Christ. You got to go into him. And he brings you and he says, I present you faultless. I present you holy and without blame. But you say, but I'm not holy and without blame. But you are positionally forever perfected in Christ. Positionally, he perfected you. He called you in from the beginning. He said, I've already given you in. Now come in here and then I'll really clothe you in it. I'll clothe you in my image. You'll take my image upon you. His image is not found here in visitation. His image is found there. With some release. We've been practicing entering. I mean, man, the Holy Ghost, he is a teacher. He taught us how to enter. We spent 3 years. He teaches us how to enter. He teaches every little facet, nook and cranny. He teaches how to do it. Because he knew without understanding entrance, without developing the kind of faith that could get you through the veil, you'd never get into the place where your priesthood even begins. It's from that position you move from glory to glory. You don't move from glory to glory here. You move from glory to glory there. And you bring it back down with you. And it is glorious. And I want more. So I tell people it's in there. Can you tell me how to do that? I said it's in that website. Devour it. Eat it. Devour and eat it. It's the image of that is in there. The tools. They're given multiple times over of how to get there. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Going in there, first couple of years, I would move into the peace of God. He said, in me, there's peace. In the world, there's tribulation. That's a position. That's a place. Now, when I go in that place, it's turning into glory. And it's awesome glory. It's glory that fills, perfects, cleanses, makes you whole. It fills your countenance up. It fills the atmosphere. I mean, we got one kind of open heaven up in my prayer closet at my house right now. Hallelujah. We're going to get in the book of Hebrews more. What we're going to do is get in the image of that book. We're going to get in what he wrote it for. He's trying to deliver them from an earthly priesthood. He said if perfection was obtained by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there for any other kind? If Christ would have come out of the Levitical priesthood, he'd have looked just like them. God had to call him out of another order, a heavenly order. After the order of Melchizedek, he had to call him out because it was a heavenly priesthood. I want you to see something. I said something the other day, difference between the gift realm and the glory realm. You know the gift realm in the Corinthian church was limited. Do you know it was in measure? Holy Spirit regulated those gifts severally as he willed. Do you know he did that in the Corinthian church? All those gifts, they were extensions of the powers of the age to come, regulated by the Holy Ghost to the absolute most carnal church in the entire New Testament. The Corinthian church was the most carnal church of all. Because I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Chapter 1, division. Chapter 3, division. Chapter 5, fornication. Chapter 6, suing each other the law. Chapter 9, idolatry. Back to chapter 11, division during the times of communion. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. All that carnality, and yet God still said, I got to use somebody. Don't let it shake you when you see some carnal outfit preacher getting up and manifesting the gifts of God right in front of you, and you know he acts like the devil. That shakes people down to the ground. They said, how can God use somebody like that? I said, because that's his mercy. He did in the Corinthian church, and he does it today. God's going to use you in an imperfect state, but when it comes to the glory, it's not like that. The glory brings everything into accountability because the glory is the anointing without measure. It's the one the Lord walked in. It had everything to do with your position in the Father, where you live, what you lived in, where you were abiding, what was upon you, where in the position you held with the Father. And that's the position Christ came to give you. He said, I give you the Corinthian model while you're growing up, but once you grow up, you're going to shift from the anointing that's in measure to the anointing without measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews. Go to chapter 12. See, when you get the image of this book in you and not the knowledge, what we need is the kind of image that these writers were living in this position when they wrote those books, and it causes you to release into the place they're wanting you to release in. These are living words, and these living words are there to release and to bring you into his glory. Amen? The whole book of Hebrews is separation, identification. Hebrews 12, look at this. He goes, you are come unto Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the right hand of God. The book of Psalms tells you it is. Zion is where Christ and his Father administrate the kingdom of God. Christ sits at the right hand of God. I set my king on the holy hill of Zion. He's been set in the right hand of the Father. That's where you're being called to. You are come to Mount Zion. He said, you're not coming to an earthly mountain. He goes, I'm calling you to a heavenly mountain. A lot of the book of Hebrews was differentiating between Moses' priesthood and the heavenly tabernacle. He differentiates between Christ's authority and is it compared with the angels. He compares his priesthood with Melchizedek, but a whole lot of this book was differentiating between
the earthly tabernacle, and it was foreshadowing the heavenly tabernacle. And Paul was trying to paint all this was for another day. It was another tabernacle. It was foreshadowing. That's why he said, you're not come to a mount. Look at verse 18. That might be touched, that burned with fire and the blackness. He goes, that's not where he's leading you. That's where he led them under the law. He said, but you're coming to Mount Zion, verse 22, unto a city of the living God. Everybody looks at this like, yeah, well, one day I'll get there. But he's talking in present tense. You're come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, the generally assembly of the church of the firstborn. You see the heavenly? You see where he's trying to get them? You see he's trying to get them out of the earth, trying to get their operation out of the earth? Verse 24, to Jesus. Oh, I like this. The general assembly, verse 23, of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. If you don't know that you're forever perfected, you won't go in. You've got to understand who you are. If you think you're a sinner saved by grace, you'll get blocked at the door 9 times out of 10. You are not a sinner saved by grace. Well, the things that I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Well, if you meditate that chapter out properly in Romans chapter 7, Paul is talking about a man under the law, struggling under the law with a spiritually dead nature and cannot obtain the law as much as he wants to do it. He can't do it because he has no nature to release. You are a spirit of a just man made perfect! I've been freely justified by Christ and made an heir! I am forever perfected in his sight! I am a new creation. I am not going to get veiled with stupidity. Repent. The heart is desperately wicked. Ooh, who could know it? My heart is not desperately wicked. My heart is desperately righteous. For the things of God, he took the desperate wickedness out of me at the cross. My heart is full. How can my heart be desperately wicked in the kingdom of God? Flow through it. How can the rivers of living water flow through my heart if it's desperately wicked? People walking around, I'm desperately wicked. Yeah, well, the kingdom of God, I'm quite sure revival will flow through that place. Your heart is the center of the kingdom of God. Christ dwells in your heart. The word of God dwells in you richly. How can it be desperately wicked with all that dwelling in you? He said, look at this, verse 22, you are come to Mount Zion. That's where he's leading you, into the city of the living God. He says to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant. You're coming to him where he resides. The throne of grace is in Mount Zion. Everybody talks about, well, God would cover you with his grace. Listen, grace is found at the throne of grace. That's where he exchanges your weaknesses for your strength. The great exchange. The blood, the sprinkling, better things than avail. Look at this. Look at 25. Love this verse. Verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, speaking of Moses under the law, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaking from heaven? If we turn away from him that speaking from heaven. If any man draw back from him that's speaking from heaven, my soul have no pleasure. Do not turn aside from him that's speaking from heaven, but let your spirit, the spirit of the just man made perfect, arise into the tabernacle of the heavenly order. Turn not away from him that's speaking from heaven, but let your spirit ascend to where he is. For where I am, there shall you be also. Go to chapter 13. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Do you see that? They were being led to Mount Zion. You're going to find your continuing city here. We seek the one that's to come. We seek that one. That's our city. That's our habitation. That's our dwelling place. That's where we are. Amen? See, it's these words and the image and the life that's in these words is what release you. This is the renewing of the mind. God, even that thing, most preachers are putting that thing down in an earthly thing. The renewing of the mind. You got to renew your mind. Get yourself positive. Well, yeah, but the real renewing of the mind is understanding the heavenly tabernacle and understanding just what God purchased for us and the position, the place we operate from. It takes a renewing of the mind to come out of old systems into the new system. It's not so we obtain some super positive imagery in our mind here in the earth. We don't perfect here. We perfect there. Say, perfect me, Lord. See, the enemy knows once you release that gate, he has no authority because he can't come up there. Christ's throne is above all the principalities and power. He has no access to you there. None whatsoever. Once you get up in there, the glory starts perfecting you, and he knows he's lost it. His only way he can do is keep us bound up in here in condemnation, shame, guilt, trying to get us to enter into a system of perfection here and constantly remind us of our faults. It doesn't matter how many faults that you have. You're not going to change your major faults here. God's going to change them. Now, trials are going to purge your old man, but the glory is going to perfect the new one. Hebrews 13:8, verse 8. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied there. And he's actually talking about the law, keeping the law, keeping the feast days, all of that. He says, keeping that, trying to establish your heart under the law by keeping the rigidness of it. Whether you should eat pork or not eat pork, just eat the thing. Get you a big rib slathered up with barbecue and just get on it. Yeah, you're supposed to eat pork. That is not going to perfect you whether you eat you a rib or eat you a salad. You're not going to get any more perfection in your spirit whether you're eating salad or a rib. Now, it might be more healthy for a salad, but that rib sure tastes good. Get out of that system. You know, if you're going to get under the law, you have a duty to keep all of it. That's what he said. You have to keep it all. It says, which have not profited them who have been occupied therein. The people still think that they're going to keep the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You might like this or not, but I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not saying this in a mean way. I promise you I'm not. Whether you pray with a prayer shawl or without a prayer shawl, it's not going to get you any closer to God. Whether you wrap into something and you got the little tassels and what those tassels mean, it's got the Hebrew right. It's not going to have you any closer to God with or without one. If I put it on my face and I walk in here covered, you are not going to get any closer to God because you are not operating out of this earthly tabernacle jurisdiction. You're a heavenly tabernacle and that prayer shawl is going to stay here when you go up there. So if you want to pray with one, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all if you don't want to pray one. But I'm just telling you, that is not what's going to get you closer to the Father. That promise, the blood of Jesus, the new and the living way, consecrated by the veil of his flesh, let us draw near, having therefore boldness to enter into. When I'm entering, I'm not looking to see an angel. I'm aware that I'm in a tabernacle. So what I do, I go in and I feel an awareness. I'm aware, if you want to see in the spirit, the way it is close your eyes and you're aware that you're in this room. Now, the way it is in the spirit is you fill your spirit up with revelation of the heavenly tabernacle. And then what happens, your spirit has the imagery of the heavenly tabernacle. Then you become aware that you're in a place under the shadow of his wings. You're aware that a shield is surrounding you. I'm aware that a tent is surrounding me. I'm aware that I'm enclosed in a pavilion. He's hidden me in a pavilion. I'm aware I'm inside. That's how you move. That's how you see. Don't try to see with your mind's eye. You're aware. See, you can be aware. You can understand a certain elements around you in this room because you're aware. It's a spiritual awareness produced by the imagery of his word. That's why I say go in by his word. You're waiting for him to come to you. That's why the word's so important, because you fill your heart with that word. And the imagery of that word is what causes you to release.
Your heart's going to go with where you're full of. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Your heart will attach to whatever your treasure is. If your treasure is the right hand of God, then fill up your spirit, and your spirit automatically release into that place. Because that whole website is a compass to move you to a heavenly tabernacle, a position where God can take you from glory to glory. That's where your inheritance is. Verse 10, this is the way we're trying to get you to. But we have an altar. Say, we have an altar. This, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Did you read that? Don't be caught up in diverse washings and diverse meats. Don't get into all the carnal ordinances of man. He goes, we have an altar to eat from that they that serve the tabernacle have no right to. He said, they that serve the earthly tabernacle had no right to the heavenly altar from which we operate. Our altar is from heaven above. Isn't that good? I got an altar to eat from, to partake of. That is the Holy of Holies altar. Seated in the right hand of God, that they that confine themselves to earthly systems and earthly tabernacles have no right to eat from. Now, I said this, we're not really struggling with the law and Judaism so much to speak, unless you listen to some certain people. But we do struggle with systems. Systems of religion. Systems, even good ones, even former generation. Even God was doing 30 years ago, which was awesome at its time because he's restoring everybody back into the glory, bringing everybody back up. Even what was then, you can get locked in. You ever been to certain things? If you've been around a long time, what happens is you grow. Even things you used to eat from, it's like, I can't do that no more. But they stayed where they were. You ever gotten away and moved up in the glory and got back to where people were that you walked with 10 years ago and you're like, have you moved? They got stuck. And if you don't watch who your compass is, you will stay with the compass you're walking with. That's why I got to get around somebody that's putting the compass in me that can release me into an unlimited God. I need a compass that'll cause me to release. I need to release. I need an unlimited compass. That's what Paul was doing in the book of Hebrews. Don't get stuck in the earthly time. Don't get stuck in an earthly system. Your tabernacle's from above. John captured it big, big time in the book of John. I pray you be with me. Father, I will. It's my final will, Father. Before I pay the price at the cross, that they be with me where I am. Where I am in you, Father, there shall they be also. And we all with open face, with a brand new created spirit, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changing his same image from glory to glory. That doesn't happen here. Glory to glory is not going to happen here. If it was, we would be perfected. Glory to glory happens where he is. You can write that down. If I want to move from glory to glory, I have to be with him where he is. I have an altar to eat from. When he wants to send you out with something that'll change the world, he's got to get us to the place. It's not easy to sit down when we're in a performance-driven generation. It's very hard to sit down and do nothing. Just go in. I'm like, I need to do something. It makes me feel like I am productive. But what are we doing? What are we doing? See, that revelation, you'll take that. It will help you release. It gives you the confidence. But there is a glory. There is being changed, a glory that transforms. And there's an inheritance that's going to come on you in that place. And that inheritance is going to release here. Father, I thank you today that we have an altar to eat from. He said, what altar do you want to speak from? Do you want to speak from an earthly altar or a heavenly altar? For whatever altar you dwell in,
is the one that you will speak from. If you dwell in an earthly altar, you will draw men to an earthly system. If you dwell in an heavenly altar, you will draw men to my image. And I will perfect them beyond anything they could have ever imagined. Father, our prayer is to speak from a heavenly altar, the one that you have given us to serve. Our prayer is to enter, to dwell, to abide, to acclimate, and to speak from it. The Spirit of the Lord says, I'll help you acclimate to altitude. To live in these places will require an acclimation of your life. Actions and reactions and behavior patterns, but I'll help you acclimate to live. My wisdom will be with you. My grace will be abundant in my inheritance. My inheritance, says the Spirit of the Lord, will be seen upon you. It will be upon your children's children. It will be upon your sons and daughters. It will be upon your spiritual sons and daughters. It will be upon your countenance. It will be upon your finances. It will be as favor in everything you do. Says the Spirit of the Lord, I will season you in my grace.